Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, 1 year after a historic Canadian performance.
I just thought, you know, it's not their day, but it's mine. And I think my fastest kilometer was the final one. And no doubt the fans and the, you know, intensity of, you know, getting into that position and feeling strong was definitely exciting.
Making a first trip to Boston.
During these major marathons, you really got to take in the experience. And I think that's something definitely, when it comes to Boston, just taking in the crowd experience. My whole entire family is going to be here, and I'm one of four children, and then my brother has three kids, one on the way. So it's good. It's just having all, they're all very supportive of my running, but having all of them there is very, very meaningful to me.
And going back to the Boston Marathon for the third year in a row.
It was just such an amazing accomplishment. I was surprised and happy, and it was a rainy day, so the weather wasn't awesome either. And I knew I was sort of having a good run on the day, and despite the weather, I sort of felt like I could push to that kind of pace, and I was surprised and happy.
On this edition of iRun Radio, with the Boston Marathon now just a few weeks away, we're going to talk to three runners who are getting ready for the oldest and most sought-after big city marathon in the world, including Canadian Olympian Krista Duchesne, who finished third last year in a historic performance. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
So it's hard to believe that it was almost a year ago that you and I were in Boston together doing the Boston Marathon. And here we are just a few weeks away from the next edition.
That's so exciting, and I'm so excited for everybody who gets the opportunity and all that training and all that effort, and they're finally getting the time to celebrate, to go out there. It's just, it's the best time of the year.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to three runners on the show today who are doing Boston, and of course, one of them is Krista Duchesne. Can't say enough about the performance she had last year. What an incredible day that was for her and for Canada when she finished third in the women's marathon in Boston. It was just an amazing moment.
Yeah, and I love the way that she sort of leaned into the aftermath of that, too. I mean, it's always good. It's good for the sport. It's good for all of us when somebody does so well like that and makes sort of, you know, international news, you know, a Canadian runner to play so highly at Boston. And Krista really leaned into the moment and embraced it. And she was on Hockey Night in Canada, and she was doing appearances, and she was always so gracious. I mean, just like doing the show, and she's staying with us as a columnist and a magazine, and just being really sort of personable, you know, and
yeah.
Somehow her story about the way she does it, you can do it too. I mean, we can't do it too, but she leads you to believe, you know, with her hard work ethic and, you know, that us two can have the same dreams.
Yeah, two great things about her story that stand out for me. One that we've mentioned before, the fact that she, had, you know, once upon a time, she was a runner just like you or me. She wasn't an elite athlete. She wasn't an Olympian. She wasn't somebody contending for the podium in a world marathon major. She actually qualified for Boston the first time around, just like any other runner does, and went and ran Boston many years ago. So that's an amazing part of the story, how she built from there and became an elite athlete. And the other is just what she talks about now, how she's had her Olympic experience, she's accomplished a lot of the things she wanted to as a runner, and so now everything is a bonus. Even getting to run last year in Boston and finishing third, that's all a bonus to her at this point in her career.
I mean, and that mentality, I mean, there's just so much to learn from that. I mean, she really is not one of my favorite athletes, but one of my favorite people, because when you approach it that way, that it's a gift. You know, she could approach it the opposite. I have to beat what I did last year. I have to place higher than what I did last year and spend the whole year fretting and worried and pits in her stomach and pushing her training to the point of injury. I mean, that trap, you know, that trap that any of us could fall into that you, I mean, almost, you know, the society sort of compels us to do. But instead she goes the opposite direction, that it's a gift. How great is that? I mean, whether you're running Boston or Ottawa or whatever you're doing, you know, bear that in mind.
Yeah, whether you're running at all, right? I mean,
yeah.
And again, I come back to the fact that our running is a gift. The reality that we're able to run and that we live lives that give us that freedom and also that require it of us to burn off some calories. The fact that we live in a time and a place where we're not so exhausted at the end of the day that we're about to crawl into bed as opposed to hop on the treadmill or go out for a half hour run. It's all a blessing. So we have to look at it that way.
I mean, that's just such a great sentiment. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to talk to a couple of other runners you know who are doing Boston, Peter and Sarah, who are going to be on the show, and looking forward to chatting with them. So many great stories every year about people having their Boston experience, and I'm envious of them. I wish I was going this year, too, and I know you do.
Same here. Yep.
And I'm envious of that first-time experience, you know, just that you never have that again, that time when you go down there, you don't know exactly what to expect. You go to the expo at this event. It's enormous. The people are amazing. You soak all of that up. And then you walk past the finish line in downtown Boston and you see the atmosphere there. You get the bus ride out to Hopkinton in the morning. You're with all these other runners. Then you run the course and you arrive in downtown Boston to this uproarious support from the crowd, this extraordinary deafening roar as you turn onto Boylston Street and head for the finish line. You only do that for a first time once, and some of the runners we're talking to are going to experience that this time around. So very cool.
Oh, man, you know, I could feel it, and it just so happened for whatever reason. And you never know. You know, behind any run, you never know. I mean, my run in Boston last year, I swear I felt elevated. I had the runner's high the whole time, and it's just, you just never know. I mean, that's the excitement of the thing.
Even though the weather was miserable, of course.
Yeah, there's no counting for it, you know? I mean, you put yourself in a good position, and you try to put your psychology in the right place, and then come what may, you know?
Yeah.
Wonderful times.
I know you've gotten some great feedback, as I have as well, to having John Stanton on the show last week from the Running Room, and that tour of Canada that he gave us. Here's
so
a guy.
Cool.
Yeah, he's run everywhere in this country, right? He travels every year, and it's just about to start heating up again with Around the Bay coming up. He's going to be there. He's going to be in Vancouver and Toronto and Ottawa, and he's going to be at the Army Run in Ottawa in the fall. And so just about every weekend, he's in a different place with a different group of runners. And in every place, he has a favorite spot that he likes to run, and he shared that with us. If you weren't with us for the show last week, you can listen at irun.ca to last week's edition of the podcast and check it out. Great to have John Stanton on the show sharing his long experience as a runner in this country with us.
I mean, I just love that more than a million people have gone through his clinics. I mean, think about that. One man started a thing, and a million people. I mean, that's just a million people who have trained with his programs. Running Room does Wednesday, Sunday, free Sunday drop-ins, and from those Sunday drop-ins, you could train for various distances to race in, and more than a million people have done that. I mean, one man making a difference for the betterment of our country and the betterment of our sport.
Right on. All right, Ben, great to chat with you again this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, my friend.
That is Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, Canadian Olympian and third place finisher in Boston last year, Krista Duchesne. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. It was a moment that resonated with so many Canadians. On a cold and windy day in Boston last year, Krista Duchesne powered her way to a third-place finish in the Boston Marathon. She's on her way back to Boston in just a few weeks. Krista, it's great to have you back on iRun Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
So when you think back to Boston last year, what a moment, obviously, and so many Canadians think back fondly on your marathon that day. How do you look back on it? What are your memories almost a year later?
I think that the biggest thing that likely stands out is the fact that I had no idea what place I was in until about 20 minutes later when I saw it in writing and believed it. So you know, I think I've only watched it on video once since the race. And, you know, the fact that I moved from like 10th to 3rd in the last 2K is still something that I, you know, shake my head about.
Yeah, incredible. And of course, you didn't know where that was leaving you, right? You could have still been in 6th place or 7th place. You didn't know you were in 3rd when you were approaching the finish line.
Exactly, right. I had no idea. And, I mean, I think I figured I was probably top masters. In fact, when I was told 3rd, that's what I thought I was. Like, oh, 3rd masters. And then, you know, they corrected me and said, no, 3rd overall. But, you know, everyone looks back at Boston like it was the craziest one ever, especially due to the weather. And, I mean, how great to have been part of that as a Canadian on a day like that where our weather, you know, worked well for us.
Absolutely. It's so fitting that a Canadian did well that day, right? It just makes so much sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, isn't there something to that, though? The fact that we always say, hey, let's just go out and run the best race we can and let everything take care of itself. But that's so hard to do. And I imagine it's even harder when you're in a competitive field and you're thinking about the other runners and whether you're keeping up with them and who's ahead of you and that kind of thing. But you actually had the opportunity to just go out and run the best race you could and see where that got you. And it got you to 3rd place. It got you on the podium.
Right. I think I was pretty realistic going into it as a 41-year-old that top 15 overall and top 3rd masters was something I could reach for. And I really enjoyed training for that marathon last year. I had a lot of fun. And it just didn't matter about what my watch said. It was about running strong on hills and just incorporating them in hard workouts and easy runs just to get used to it. And, you know, definitely rewarding that I just had no pressure or time goals or expectations. It was just run within yourself and, you know, do what you can do and, you know, pay attention to what's going on around you. I know at one point I was out with the lead pack because we were so slow to start. And I thought, oh, what am I doing beside, you know, Edna Kiplagat, Shalane Flanagan? But eventually I kind of let them go ahead and they were within sight the whole time. And I just wanted to run my own race because I just didn't want to get into these surges and tactics and that kind of thing. And, you know, it worked to my advantage that I just picked people off as I saw them ahead one by one.
Yeah, and that's got to be a good feeling. It's always good when you're passing people in the final few kilometers of a marathon, right? I enjoy that, even though it might only be taking me from 500th place to 475th, depending on the size of the event. It's still a good feeling when you're passing people, right?
Definitely. And, I mean, it's probably the only time in my life that I'll be able to say that I passed Shalane Flanagan and Molly Huddle
sure.
And Edna Kiplagat in a race. And my first thought was, oh, no, something went wrong. They were let off course. But then I remember thinking, well, Shalane knows this race like the back of her hand. And I just thought, you know, it's not their day, but it's mine. And I think my fastest kilometer was the final one. And no doubt the fans and the, you know, intensity of, you know, getting into that position and feeling strong was definitely exciting.
So now that a little bit of time has passed, what has that race come to mean for you?
It's interesting because I was really busy with a lot of interviews and speaking engagements I had already scheduled prior to Boston, which of course just multiplied after. And I enjoy sharing my story. And I think I still come back to the fact that, you know, I'm this mom of three that took up running because I felt like there was still something left after playing hockey for 4 years. And, but at the same time, you know, looking back, I think the three marathons that stand out for me would be placing 3rd in Boston, you know, becoming an Olympian in Rio, and then winning the national championships at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon in 2016 after Rio. And then I guess a 4th one, obviously, you know, getting right behind Lainey Marchant the day that the record was broken after Sylvia Ruger had it for 28 years.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you characterize yourself that way. And I know Ben Kaplan and I were talking earlier about how having had the Olympic experience and having devoted your life to running to a large extent outside of your family and your faith, that was your primary focus. You are now in this space, and we've talked about it before, about how you're trying to set things up so you have You're enjoying what you're doing, and everything is gravy from this point on, right? This is the context in which you're trying to view things, and that seems to be working for you, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I think one part of the influences of the decisions I make about race is, you know, financial choices, in that, you know, some of the people I compete against don't have children, or they have young children that will be entering kindergarten in a few years, whereas our firstborn's 13. He'll be entering college or university in 4 or 5 years. And so, you know, we're saving up to help with that. And, you know, one of the things that I did with my Boston winnings was we put a big chunk toward our ESPs for the kids. So, you know, at this point in my career, it's making good choices there and getting into these races because I can, and, you know, not taking that for granted, but knowing I worked hard for that over my career, and enjoying the process. This time that the kids and my husband will be with us in Boston, and, you know, that's just going to be really exciting to have my family there as well.
Well, that's great. And we'll talk more about what to expect in Boston this year, but I just wanted to share a quick story with you, because the other night, my son had a hockey practice, and I got chatting with one of the other parents, a mom at the hockey practice, and it was somebody I'd never talked to before, but I happened to be wearing a New York Marathon hat, and she said, "Oh, did you run the New York Marathon?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Did you ever run the Boston Marathon?" I said, "Yeah, I did it a couple of times, and I ran it last year." And right away she said, and this was somebody who, by the way, is not a serious runner. She has done one half marathon. She likes running, but, you know, she's not a passionate follower of the World Marathon Majors or something like that. Right away she said, "How about that Canadian woman, that mother of three who finished third?" You know, so that story resonated not just with those of us in the running community, but with so many people beyond that. It's you know, it really is something that touched people.
Yeah, that's really, you know, that makes my heart warm, and it makes me smile to know that I've had an influence in people's lives. And I've had many messages from moms especially that are getting back to running because they know it's good for their physical health, their mental health, emotional health, and it's something good that they can do for themselves, which makes them a better person, a better mom, wife, parent, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's really special to hear those stories. And, you know, every once in a while, these messages just pop out, and they just really hit home at sometimes the time when I need it. I remember when I went to Kenya 2 years ago, and I was in tears at the airport because I was, you know, leaving my family for a month. It was a pretty big deal. And I got a message from someone saying, you know, something to the extent that they're seeing what a strong person you are, and you're going after your goals, and they see that it takes hard work. And it was just really meaningful and supportive. And I read over it many times through the tears because I was tough, but, you know, sometimes we do have to make sacrifices, and that can be difficult.
Yeah, but I think part of your identity is being a mom, and that resonates with people too in a way that may not be the case with lots of other athletes. So you obviously have made an impression on people, not just with your running, but with how you've balanced your running with your family life, and that's a huge part of your story, obviously. Let's look ahead to Boston this year. What does it feel like to be going back, and what are your goals this time around?
Well, I mean, it's just going to be fun to go back. The training has been pretty similar. I've logged more kilometers this time than ever before. I think I was just ready for that next step, and Coach Dave felt the same. So I logged my first 200-kilometer week a few weeks ago and felt good. I'm still able to take one complete rest day a week. So I do mostly single runs that are pretty long. And, again, the goal is to start the marathon mentally when you hit the hills. So I just want to kind of block it out until those hills, you know, start to be repeating one after the next, and not worry about what my watch says, listen to how I feel, and, you know, be aware around me of what's happening. But again, just kind of run within myself and listen to my body so that I run the race that I've trained myself to run. So probably pretty similar top. You know what? I haven't really studied the elite field, but, you know, like maybe top 15 would be great. I think I'm ranked maybe 16th, so that's probably a good goal. And top third Masters, again, I think is realistic. So, yeah, I think, again, just not a lot of pressure with, you know, a certain standard or time goal. And that sometimes produces the best event, just to go into it with what you got without, you know, high expectations.
Well, Krista, I wish you the best of luck in Boston. Your story still continues to inspire me and so many other people, not just the Boston performance, but everything that you've done. So continued success, and thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
That is elite Canadian runner and Olympian Krista Duchesne. Coming up, somebody who's savoring a first trip to the Boston Marathon. I Run Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to I Run Radio. I Run Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can also listen to our podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Our next guest is preparing for her very first Boston Marathon next month. Sarah Hull, welcome to I Run Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So Ben introduced us by saying you were one of the toughest runners he knows. That's a pretty nice thing to hear.
Yeah, well, it's taken a couple of years to get to where I am with my running.
Okay, well, how did it all get started? What got you into running in the first place?
I actually started running in high school. I was doing cross country. I had a really inspirational coach who would literally chase me up hills. And then I ended up running for Acadia University and did cross country again. And then I moved downtown from my parents' home in Toronto and ended up living where I do currently live right at King and Bathurst, and ended up joining Blacktoe in 2015.
Okay. And then you started taking on longer distances.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely was a shorter distance runner, and then definitely found my feet. In regards to the longer distances, my favorite distance is the marathon. I like to say the slow and steady pace works for me. It's been quite the journey to get to where I am, but definitely well worth it.
So tell me a little bit about that journey, about what you've experienced along the way, some of the races you've taken on, and why you've come to love the marathon so much.
So I did the Good Life Marathon in Toronto twice. I actually qualified for Boston the first time I ever did a marathon, but didn't meet the cutoff, and then tried Good Life again and came in just after the cutoff. And then I ran the Mississauga Marathon, which I really loved that course. I loved how it was a little bit more hilly, but definitely went through some really nice neighborhoods. I found that I wasn't watching every kilometer go by, as you do sometimes within the marathon.
Sure.
And it was just the scenery was really nice to just look at throughout the whole course.
And is that when you qualified for Boston?
I did qualify, yeah. Yes. I qualified after my third marathon, and it was best feeling ever.
Right. And it's a kind of a two-stage thing now, because you qualify, but then you got to wait and find out whether you make the cutoff. And
Exactly. So, and with the cutoff on how aggressive it was this year, actually only qualified by 11 seconds.
11 seconds.
Yeah, 11 wow. seconds. That's the difference between making it or not.
Yeah.
Because I had a 5-minute plus buffer, but it seemed this year it was crazy how big the buffer was.
Yeah. And in fact, they've made it even tougher going forward now by 5 minutes, right? So
exactly,
the qualifying
right?
times have all changed. Yeah. So 11 seconds.
Everyone's getting faster.
Yeah. You can, I'm sure you can go back and look at that race and think of all the times when, if you'd spent a little bit more time at an aid station, or if your shoelace had come undone, or all of those kinds of things. That's a quarter second per kilometer, basically.
Exactly. And, you know, it might have not been the outcome I wanted to be if that had changed. But,
yeah.
You know, it was funny. The announcer at the finish line, he knew when I finished. He said, we've got a Boston qualifier. And I guess that was the truth once I got there.
Right. So what did that mean to you?
Oh, it, you know, I for my first marathon, it was, you know, the usual first half went out too fast, and then the second half was not pretty. And then my second marathon, same kind of thing. And then the third one, I kind of went out with being very conservative, making sure I didn't go out too fast. And things just, you know, it all came together. It was... Yeah, it's the best feeling ever when you qualify for Boston. I know a lot of people every single day want to do it. So, yeah. You know.
It's the in-demand race for sure. So why do you like the long distance so much? Why do you like marathons? Because I know there are people who do marathons, but they might, if they had to decide, they might prefer a half marathon. Why is it you like a marathon so much?
I think it's the most, like, I guess, mentally challenging one. I love the challenge of the marathon. You know, you always have your plan A, plan B, and plan C. I love the challenge of the marathon. It's not something that's going to, it's a journey. It's not a race. And it's the whole, I guess it's the whole array of emotions that you go through during the marathon that I love about it.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time with yourself in a marathon, don't you?
Exactly. I feel that if you can conquer a marathon, you can conquer a lot of things in life.
So what are your expectations going into Boston in just a few weeks?
So the reason, like, why I really wanted to do Boston was I'm really on a mission to get all six majors done. So I did Chicago in the fall, and now this is number two. And then in regards to Boston, the plan is to go out conservatively and then decrease on the second half if I have it in me.
Okay. And yeah. What do you expect from the whole experience of doing that event?
You know what? One thing that someone told me was during these major marathons, you really got to take in the experience. And I think that's something definitely when it comes to Boston, just taking in the crowd experience. My whole entire family is going to be here, and I'm one of four children, and then my brother has four kids, or three kids, one on the way. So it's good. It's just having all, they're all very supportive of my running, but having all of them there is very, very meaningful to me. It's never happened before, just because we have people in Toronto and people in New York. So, you know, just knowing that they're going to be at a kilometer mark will definitely be encouraging, no matter what happens.
So you're going to have this big cheering section there with you. That's amazing.
Exactly. I'll have them, and then we'll have some of the Black Toe, as we like to call them, the fun squad,
right,
along the course as well.
So tell me a bit about that, what it's been like running with that particular group in Toronto. That I know there are lots of people who have had the Black Toe experience and have really gotten a lot out of it.
Well, when I moved downtown, I knew I wanted to join a run club. And so I joined in 2015 to the run club, and then got a little faster and joined the race team. And it's been... You know, Mike and I, who started the store, are amazing people. And it's just, it's a very welcoming group. I have a mentor. Everyone's super friendly. Everyone's willing to give you advice, especially when you go down to these major marathons and you don't really know what you're doing in regards to even getting to a start line. But yeah, it's just, it's nice to have such, it feels like another family. It feels like I have a family in downtown Toronto who everyone's supporting me along my running journey.
And you're going to be with both families in Boston, right?
Exactly, right?
Yeah. You mentioned you did Chicago in the fall. I was there for that one as well. Tell me about your experience that day.
Chicago was an interesting race. I was having some issues fueling, and my body essentially was rejecting the fuel. So I basically did that one on adrenaline. It was, you know, I wanted to come in at, and I was determined to get to the finish line. And you know, you learn things along the way with the marathon. I won't be taking that type of gel again during the marathon. but yeah, you know, you learn things, and I still, you know, no matter what, you can still do a PB, and that was the goal. And I got a new PB, which, you know, given the circumstances, it wasn't really my favorite at that point.
Wow, good for you. Now, what did you think of the whole Chicago experience? I mean, it's obviously a great city to visit.
It was amazing going through all the different, like Chinatown, going to the Village. It was just the crowd support in that city is nuts. It's amazing. You're never alone on that course. Yeah. You're never alone. You always have a runner beside you, but you also have, it's lined. It was amazing.
And what's next? You mentioned you want to do the 6 World Marathon Majors, so Boston will be number 2. Have you started figuring out a plan for after that?
I haven't yet. I'm going to start planning after the summer. I'm going to take a little bit of some downtime during the summer. Not stop running, but just take a break. I've done 2 majors this year. And, you know, I guess it'll depend on the lottery system for some of them. But London, you know, the London seems like a next one. And then maybe, depending on how this Boston goes, probably Boston again next year.
All right. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is great stuff, Sarah. Congratulations and enjoy the Boston experience. The weather can be hot or cold. It can be windy. It can be snowing. It can be raining. But you're going to love the atmosphere in Boston no matter what. Thank you so much for telling your story on the show today.
Thank you so much.
That's Sarah Hull of Toronto. Coming up next, somebody who's going back to Boston for the 3rd year in a row. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Peter Leventis is another one of hundreds of Canadians who will be running the Boston Marathon next month. In fact, you'll be doing it for the 3rd time in a row. Peter, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you for having me on, Mark.
So this will be your 3rd Boston Marathon in a row. I guess we can call that a streak now, right?
I guess so, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Let's go back over the history of how you got here. What got you into running in the first place, and how did you end up chasing down the Boston dream?
Well, I guess it started out, you know, back in high school and stuff. Running was not an enjoyable thing necessarily for me. It was something I did for cross training. I was a cross country or Nordic skier at the time. So off season was cross country running. And then as soon as I could, I basically didn't run anymore. I didn't love it. I found that when I was, you know, late 20s, early 30s, I started to be able to have the temperament for running again. And I was writing my graduate thesis, my PhD thesis, I guess, in the latter part of the early 2000s or 2000s, and I started to need something as an outlet, physical activity, etc., for the stress of writing up, and so I started running a bit again then. I'd run sort of a little bit off and on previous to that, and then I guess I sort of got into it fits and starts, sometimes a lot, sometimes less, with sort of, you know, Boston being this, you know, dream that, you know, it looked really difficult to do because at the time I think my first marathon was, I think it was 2010, Toronto Waterfront, Scotia Waterfront Marathon, and I think I ran something like 3:35 or something, and I guess I was probably 39 or 40 at the time, 39. I can't remember what the qualification time for that was, but it was probably something like 3:15 or 3:10, and it was just so much faster than I was capable of running. So at the time, I don't think I really expected to be able to run there. And then 3 years ago, I started doing a running streak at the end of 2015, I think. Yeah, so 2016, 2017, all of 2018, I did a running streak. So December 31st, 2015, till very early of 2019, I ran consecutive days, and it was 1,100 days. And I found that doing that, which is something, it's both a great thing and it's not necessarily something that I'd recommend for everyone, but I found that my times were improving and just the quality of running I was doing allowed me to speed up fast enough. And I also got older. I moved to the next age category.
Which always helps.
Allowed me to qualify. It does, yeah. So I guess... Good Life Toronto Marathon. So it was Good Life at the time. Now it's just the Toronto Marathon.
early May 2016, I guess. I think it was 3:20 or something like that, 3:21. And that wasn't enough for a 44-year-old, but for 45, which I would have been on the next Boston, that was a 3.5-minute or 4-minute cushion. And at the time, that was enough to get me in. So
good for you.
My wife went and booked the hotels and everything right away.
And it's interesting you said that you kind of got away from running and then came back to it as you got a little bit older, late 20s, early 30s, because long-distance running takes patience. And I'm not sure that most of us have that when we're 18, 19, 20, that type of age. There are some people who run marathons at that age. I'm always surprised when I meet them. But for the most part, it is the kind of thing, doing a half marathon or a marathon, that you're going to do when you're a little bit older and you can kind of hang in there for a long run, right?
I agree with that 100%. I think unless you are a really excellent athlete who's younger and, you know, you're doing all those short, middle distance, as they call it, on the track, and the longer distance, so up to 5K or something like that, and maybe the marathon is a natural, or half marathon is a natural progression, I don't really see a lot of younger people doing it. It seems to be a lot of the older people that are able to do it, and where they don't really feel like there's necessarily a time reason to do it. Like, you know, they're just doing it for fitness or whatever and enjoyment.
Yeah. So let's talk a little more about qualifying for Boston and what it meant to you when it happened. How did it feel when you finally got in?
Oh, it was amazing because it was something like an 8 or 9 minute PB. So that was like a huge improvement over my previous marathon 6 months previous, which was probably Hamilton. And it was just such an amazing accomplishment. I was surprised and happy, and it was a rainy day, so the weather wasn't awesome either, and I knew I was sort of having a good run on the day, and despite the weather, I sort of felt like I could push to that kind of pace, and I was surprised and happy to get there. And then I think I ended up bettering my time at Hamilton again, so I think my first Boston, I had a qualifying time, 3:16, something like that.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. And you said you had a running streak going for a while. You were running every single day. How long did you have that going?
Yeah, so it was 1,100 days total. It was. It started out as just I was running, and then some friends on Facebook happened to comment how Matt Galway, who's the host of CBC's Metro Morning in Toronto, had just in, I think it must have been 2015, had run every day that year. And he'd run something like 1,800 or 1,900 kilometers, which is impressive to do that. It takes a lot of dedication. And then someone said, oh, that's, you know, it's only 5K a day. Unless you're doing 10K, it doesn't mean anything, which, you know, of course, is just people talking smack on the internet.
Exactly.
And so a bunch of people said, oh, okay, let's do the streak thing. And as far as I know, most people had dropped out within 3 months. And for whatever reason, I was just able to keep on going. And it was, I think, a bit of luck that I never really had any injuries during my streak, except a little bit at the end. I was sort of feeling a bit beaten up. The other thing is where I work in a hospital, and I wear scrubs all day, so I don't have to bring fancy clothes or a laptop home or anything. So I was able to do run commuting as either one direction or both directions for parts of my streak, and that really helped because I was able to get distance in that I was going to spend that time either on the bus or taking my bike to work anyway. And it just allowed me to get my distance in. And so I was sort of generally doing over 10K a day for the entire time, with the exception of being if I was lightly injured or in a taper for a race.
Right. And why did you stop?
Cool. Why did I stop? I think I'd gotten to a point where I didn't feel that I was getting a benefit from doing the streak anymore. It was becoming a number that wasn't really, I wasn't getting the enjoyment of it anymore. And I think you need to have enjoyment when you're doing something like that. And I'd been doing a lot of training for the Chicago Marathon in 2018. And I developed a little hamstring injury after Chicago that I probably ought to have just sort of, you know, gone a lot lighter, but foolishly, I guess, decided I was going to run 5,200 kilometers last year, and I was going to make that no matter what. And, you know, sometimes a goal is a good thing, and sometimes it's not. And I think in this case, it would have been wiser to either, you know, cut right down to a couple of kilometers a day just to finish the streak and then rather than pursuing the distance. And I did ultimately get to some, you know, 5,250 or 5,300 or something kilometers last year, which is crazy. But at the end of it, I just sort of, I think it was a couple months before I decided, look, I've done enough. 1,100 days is a nice round number. I could have stopped on the 31st, which was, I think it was 1097 days. And I just thought, you know, I can do three or four more days or whatever it is.
Sounds like a wise decision.
I think.
Let's talk about the Boston experience, though. Tell me what Boston ended up being like for you. You've done it a couple of times now. What was the experience like of running the Boston Marathon for you?
Okay, so the first time, it was great. My family came down, and I knew that they were waiting for me at a certain point, and that was exciting trying to go and see them. But I didn't really have a full appreciation for how challenging that course is. You know, it's quite a downhill course in the first half, and that if you're trying to go too quickly, you can really thrash your legs, as you or many people would know. And I was pretty beaten up by that last, you know, 10K or something like that. The marathon's never fun after 30K anyway, but I recall it being at that time. So that was really kind of cool, just sort of running that with the family there. And I saw them at, you know, probably about 37 or 38K, just inside Boston, I guess, and finished. It was a kind of a warm day. It was certainly a lot warmer than it had been in Toronto, and it was a bit humid. And then, but that was kind of nice. So it was, you know, singlet and shorts, and got a bit sunburnt, even though I'd put on sunscreen. It was a lot of fun. Last year, as you probably know, the weather was not awesome. It was sort of really warm the day before, really warm the day after, but on the day of, it was deluge rain. I think it was about 9 or 10 degrees, and a little bit of wind, but not ridiculous. And, you know, it's one of those, you look at the weather and you're like, oh, crap, I guess I'm running in this no matter what. And it just happened that the marathon that I ran, that I qualified for my first Boston, so the Good Life Toronto Marathon at the time, 2016, was also kind of 10, 12 degrees, raining, but not quite like this. So it's a little bit warmer, less windy, less rain, but still not awesome weather. And I sort of looked at what did I wear at that, and I sort of wore sort of similar clothes plus a couple of more layers, and ran that, and it ended up being pretty good. So I had another PB at Boston.
Wow.
So I PB'd at Boston 3:10 something.
Not a lot of people were doing that day, I can tell you.
I was never cold. I was very lucky. I'd also went and bought you know, those little chemical hand warmers,
right,
and put them in my gloves, so my hands were warm for the first 10K, which was great. And then they turned to those things, they stop working when they get wet. But just those few K of not having cold hands really helped. And I ended up pitching a couple of pairs of gloves and a little toque that I'd thrown on top of a cap. Everything worked out. The day, like, you know, you can't really do anything about the fact that you're carrying sponges on your feet for 40K, but it turned out to be a pretty good day. And
good for you.
Yeah, I was really happy with that.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hope your third Boston Marathon is just as good an experience. Peter, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good luck in Boston.
Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it.
That's Peter Leventis. Coming up in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk more about some of the big spring running events that are coming up in places like Vancouver and Ottawa. I hope you can join us next week on iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.